Today is a great day, though. And we had such a good time in the first service, and I'm looking forward to what God's going to do throughout this whole summer. Amen. As God just begins to move in your heart, I want us to be the church like never before. I want us to move into a place of, you know, we talk about worship. I want us to become worship so strong that we move heaven and earth wherever we're at. How many believe that that's what God's called us to do? How many believe that we're not waiting on a move of God, that we are the move of God? Amen. Somebody say, I am the move of God. And everywhere I move, the move of God, there is a move of God. Right. No matter where I'm at, if I'm at the coffee shop or I'm working in the plant or wherever I'm at, I am the move of God. Amen. And so praise is one of the most powerful weapons of our warfare. Yes. I'm going to say that again. Praise is one of the most powerful weapons in our arsenal in spiritual warfare. And we have to understand that when we praise, we change the atmosphere around us. When a believer begins to press into the presence of God and lift up the name that's above every name, it defeats every enemy and every foe. Our worship and our praise is powerful. Powerful. We need to praise from the position of victory, though. It's important that you praise from the place of understanding who you are. You are a winner. I want you to shout right now as loud as you can on the count of three. I am a winner. One, two, three.
I am a winner.
Why do I know I'm a winner? Because he is overcome. Right? When he said, it is finished, he said, you're a winner. You're a winner. Today, when we baptized these beautiful ladies today, it was so awesome because I was thinking today as I was getting ready to baptize them, you're winners. Your past is behind you. Your past is, oh, there is no past. And I told them both this. I don't know if I've ever told anybody this in the baptismal tank before. Probably haven't. But I told them this, both of them this. The enemy wants to come and remind you of your past. From this day forward, you look at the enemy and tell the enemy, I have no past. My past is behind me. Those things are under the blood. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm a winner. Somebody say, I'm a winner. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a winner. You know what winners do? Winners always continue to win because they have a winning attitude. Losers always continue to lose. You know why? They got a losing attitude. Grumblers and complainers create an atmosphere for losing. Positive people, praisers and worshipers create an atmosphere for winning. When I worship, I'm telling God that he's great, and I'm telling the devil he's defeated. When I complain and mumble and groan and all that stuff, I'm hearing the voice of the enemy, and I'm telling him he is the winner. I decide in my life who is going to be the voice that I'm going to listen to by the one that I worship. So I said, old pastor, are you saying I'm a devil worshiper? I'm saying you can worship the enemy by living in a place of negativity. You're worshiping into the strongholds that the enemy wants to put on your life. But when you say, oh, this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad. What you gonna be glad about? Because this is the day the Lord has made. Well, don't you understand the circumstance you're in? I do. But I also understand the atmosphere I'm in. My atmosphere does not determine, my circumstance does not create my atmosphere. You got to get that today. You can be in a prison and still be victorious. Praise is the most powerful tool in our arsenal. When we engage in worship and we lift up the name of Jesus, we are actually invoking the highest authority in heaven and in earth. When we speak the name of Jesus, we're pulling out of heaven the greatest authority. It's greater than the name Barack Obama. It's greater than the name, just think of some powerful name. It's greater than all of those names. Any name that you could invoke, it's definitely greater than the name of Satan. I want you to hear what I'm going to say today, because we have to put this in perspective, because we tend to sometimes make the devil real big and God real little. It's like the voices of the wrong are louder than the greatness of the right. How can we turn the tide on that? For the church to become the church and the worshipers become worship. Right. Well, come on, somebody, you got to get with me today. We got to become worshipers just as in every avenue of our lives. Ephesians 1:21 says, above every ruler and every authority, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. When I speak the name of Jesus, it's not just for some day over there, but it's in the present right now. When I speak his name, he comes on the scene right now. He's not just in some God that's somewhere out there. Not just someday we're going to worship him in glory. But right now his presence comes. His presence is present. When I speak his name, we can praise God from the position of victory, no matter what situation we're in. You know the story of Paul and Silas, and they're in Rome preaching the gospel, and they encounter the slave girl, and she has a spirit of divination, and she is walking around behind them, just blah 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 blah, blah. And she annoys the apostle Paul. He gets aggravated with her, so he turns around and he casts the devil out of her. I love that. You're on my nerves, so I'm just going to cast the devil out of you. Not because I got a word from God, just because you're annoying me. You may not even want the devil cast out of you, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come out, devil. And when he cast the devil out of her, the owners of the slave, they got all mad about that, because she was telling fortunes and she was their bank. She was making them money. And so when he cast the devil out of her, he basically stopped the cash flow in their life. And so they had a little kangaroo court and threw Paul and Silas in jail. Come on, Justin, you got to preach with me. We're going to go to jail. Come on, son. Won't be your first time in jail. Come on.
It's true.
We've been there together, baby. Right. All right. So Paul and Silas, and you're going to be old Silas. You're not going to be very happy about being here, all right?
Okay.
All right. Kind of got a bitter spirit. We're going to get you healed, though, so don't worry. You can stay there long. So Paul, he's looking over at Silas, and he said, hey, let me read my text to you first, Acts 16. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. I want you to pay attention to this. When Paul and Silas began to sing praises, the atmosphere changed. The prisoners began to listen to them. And then suddenly, somebody shout suddenly. There was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. So at the moment when the prison doors began to shake, the chains fell off, and everybody shout everyone.
Everyone.
Oh no, y'all didn't get that. Everyone, not just theirs, but everyone. So here they are, they're sitting in there, and we have a little praise going on, and it's not looking very good. It's kind of like going to church on that Sunday morning, and you know, they're not singing the song you like. There's not a whole lot of energy in the room, and kind of just chilled there. And Paul looks over at old Silas, and he says, hey, he said, why don't we sing a little song? All right. So let's sing that old song that we sang a few weeks ago in that revival down the road there, and all those people got healed. And Silas was like, dude, what's wrong with you? We're in prison. I know you had some radical encounter with God and got knocked off your horse, and you're all one of them radical Christians, but I want you to look around us. We are in prison. Look at our situation. We have chains on our hands. We got chains on our feet. We are locked up. We're in this prison right here. And so old Paul begins to tell Silas a story. He said, you forgot about that time when old Peter. Old Peter was locked up in prison, and they was over, the church was over there praying for him. You remember that? And the church was praying, and Peter had 16 guards. They were so afraid Peter was going to bust out. They had 16 guards around him, had one standing on either side. They didn't lock him up with two chains, but they had locked him up with one chain. They had locked him up with two. They was making double sure that he was not going to get out of prison. Had him locked up tight. And the church was down the road at Mary's house, and they were praying and interceding for him. And James had just been beheaded, and they was getting ready to take Peter's head off too. And somewhere in the middle of the night, as the church began to pray, the angel of the Lord showed up. And the angel of the Lord said, "Hey, get up, Peter. Let's go. What's happening? The doors are opening. The chains are falling off, and you've been set free." And Peter was so shocked. Listen, I love this part of the story. Peter was asleep between the two guards. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to jail, but I have. And sleep was not what I was wanting to do. And he was, oh, y'all spiritual people. Pastor been to jail. I wasn't always saved, is all I'm going to say. And so sleep is not what you're thinking about while you're in jail. But Peter had such a relationship with God, he wasn't even concerned. He was sleeping. He was resting. Let me tell you something. When you're a worshiper, you can rest in the middle of your prison. There's a place of rest knowing that God's got this all under control and it's all going to be all right. So the two guards are standing on either side of him and Peter's sound asleep. And then here comes the angel of the Lord. Hey, had to hit him. "Get up, Peter. Let's go." He said, "I thought I was in a dream. I thought it was a vision. I didn't even realize until I was walking down the road. And then I realized, hey, this is for real. I'm out of prison." He knocks on the door where the prayer warriors are praying. And this sounds just like the church. They're all praying, "God, give us a miracle. Set old Peter loose, Lord, in Jesus' name." And that prayer meeting going on, and he knocks on the door, and the handmaiden opens the door, and she slams the door back, and she said, "Peter's ghost is standing at the door." We pray for miracles. God gives us a miracle, then we're shocked. Side note. And so he's telling old Silas about that, and he said, "Why don't we just sing an old song?" And so he says, "Well, I feel like praising." Oh, you can't clap. You got chains on. "Praising him. Well, I feel like praising him. Yeah. I'm going to praise him in the morning. Praise him all day long. Well, I feel like praising him." You got that? Come on, let's sing.
I don't know that one.
"Well, I feel like praising him." Come on, you got it. "Well, I feel like praising him." You feeling better already, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I know we're in jail, but you feeling better.
That's right.
"I'm going to praise him in the morning. Praise him all day long. Well, I feel like praising him." I'm going to get you a little solo right here. Are you ready? Okay. "If you don't want to praise him, don't you hinder me. If you don't want to praise him, don't you hinder me. Just shut up, boy. I'm going to praise him in the morning. Praise him all day long. Yeah, I feel like praising." So y'all feeling better already, ain't you? Praising him. And while they was praying at midnight, somebody say midnight. At midnight. At midnight. Let me tell you something. God comes to your midnight. God's interested in what's going on in the middle of your midnight, in the middle of your storm, in the middle of your prison. At the middle of midnight, God shows up on the scene. And in the middle of the night, they have a little jailhouse rock. And the place began to shake and begin to break. And the prison doors began to come open. And the Bible says that all of the shackles fell off. All of the chains opened. All of the doors were open. Let me tell you something, my friend. When you get into a place, thank you. When you get into a place of worship, you not only release the power of God in your life, but you release the power of God in other people's life. Praising is not just an arsenal in your army just for you, but praise sets other people free. There has to be a time in our life that we don't let our circumstances or the prison we're in decide whether we're going to praise or not. We're going to praise in regardless of the situation we're in. Somebody ought to give the Lord a shout of praise right now. I feel like praising the Lord a little bit this morning. I feel like there's about to be a settling in this house. I feel like there's about to be an earthquake in this house. I feel like some things that have been locked up in your life, God's about to set you free if you just let a little praise come out. Chains started falling. Doors opening. I'm going to give you six things you can do that praise can do in your life. Number one, it brings the glory of the Lord. Praise always brings the glory of the Lord. No matter what situation you're in. It don't matter if you're locked up in prison. It don't matter if you're laying up in the hospital. It don't matter if you're in divorce court. It don't matter if your bank account's empty. When you start praising, here comes the glory of the Lord. Here comes, I love just driving down the road. I know a lot of people get in, they talk about putting on some praise in their car and driving. I love just driving down the road, just singing my own praises to God, making up my own songs, just singing in the Spirit, praising God. Number two, it is the door to His presence. Praise is the door to His presence. Praise unlocks the door to His presence. Praise shifts the atmosphere. Number three, it defeats the enemy. Listen, if the enemy is giving you trouble, give him trouble. Start praising. Well, Pastor, you don't know. You ain't ever heard me singing. It ain't about how you sing. It's about making a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's about praise. It's not about your skill set. It's about crowning Him King and Lord and acknowledging who He is in your life and that He is King. And you begin to praise, it begins to defeat the enemy. Number four, praise brings revival. Everybody say, brings revival. You want a revival in your life? Start praising. Well, we need a revival, Pastor. Can you invite Brother So-and-so in to preach? Let me tell you something. We can have all the preachers in the world coming here and you never have a revival. I'll preach a little bit. If preaching gave us a revival, you'd all be revived. We've heard enough preaching to save the world. Amen? Listen, preaching's awesome. I know the Bible says we're saved by the foolishness of preaching. Preaching's awesome. But you know what we need more than preaching? We need praise. We need a revival that will, in our heart, that we begin to praise God and stir up the very presence of God in our life. And when we begin to praise, something supernatural takes place, and it revives. It not only revives us, but it splashes over on other people. Number five, it will give you joy for your journey. It will give you joy for your journey. When you begin to praise, it's gonna bring you joy. Listen, let me tell you something. We need joy. We need an outpouring of joy. I haven't seen, it looks like some of these Christians today, like they done ate the whole can of prunes. Praise Jesus. Well, let's praise the Lord. I ain't got nothing to praise the Lord about. Life is bad. My only time I praise God is when I had money. I would never praise God. Hey, if I only praised God when all my kids were perfect, maybe sometimes I would be praising God. I mean, you know, my wife, she's perfect, but if she only praised God when I was perfect, then she would never praise God. We got all of these things in our life that we use as conditions for our praise, and none of them has to do with anything. Our praise is not because of what's going on. Our praise is because of who He is. Oh, you got to get this today, because you say, oh, Pastor, I got that. Well, then why are you always going through the same old thing and going through the same old journey and blah, 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 blah? Why don't you get a little praise in your life, a little joy for your journey? Number six, praise opens the doors to the prison and sets the captives free. Not only you, but those around you. When you start praising, you change the atmosphere and people get freed up. Come on, you need to start praising on your job. Come on, God, I just, whoo. Don't let your job or your circumstances on your job determine your praise. Let your praise change your circumstances. If you don't like your boss, instead of cursing him, start praising. Start worshiping. Start saying, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for my boss. I pray, God, that you elevate him. Lord, give him a better job in another state. In Jesus' name. Increase him, Lord. Promote him, Lord. Promote him to a better place. In Jesus' name. You're laughing about that, but we can get bitter and ugly about what's going on at our work and blah, 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 blah. And what we're doing is we're putting off that negativity in the place of our work instead of becoming worshipers where we change the atmosphere. We change the atmosphere. All of a sudden, they're saying, "Woo! I love your heart. What's different about you?" Well, because I come in here praising every day. We say, what do you mean? You got headphones on or you got a jam box on your shoulder and you got Carrie Jo just screaming and you're, woo! No, a praise is about a heart condition of giving glory to God. God, I'm so thankful for this job. I'm thankful for your goodness. I'm thankful for your mercy. I'm thankful that you love me this morning. I got a heart of praise, God. I'm changing the atmosphere around me. Anybody with me today? Living in a place of praise is living in a place of freedom. When you live in a place of praise, you live in a place of freedom. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Praise is acknowledging the reality of who God is. We need to realize who God really is. Praise is saying, He is King of Kings and He is Lord of Lords. He is the great and the mighty, and there is no other God. He is the first and the last and everything in between. He is the great I am. He is the healer. He is the way maker. There is nothing too big that he can't handle, and there's nothing too small that he doesn't care about. We get focused sometimes on the big things. God cares about the little things in our life. He cares about the little sparrow that falls from the tree. He cares about the numbers of hairs that's up on our head. He cares about the things that we don't even care about. God cares about those things. They're important to him. And when we get our heart of praise and worship, then we start seeing the things that God sees. The atmosphere is changing now. Not because we told God who he was. God did not need an ego boost. He wasn't struggling. God wasn't struggling. But the scripture says, oh, magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name. Oh, magnify the Lord. Let's make him bigger in our lives. Let's magnify the Lord. In our situation, let's see God bigger than we've ever seen God before. You said, well, God can't get any bigger. No, but we can see him bigger. He wants to change our perception. He wants to change who we are. He wants to change those things. Oh, magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name. Psalm says this, 16. You make known to me the path of life, and in your presence there's fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You bring to me continual revelation of your resurrection life. And I stand face to face with you, and there's nothing like your presence. Nothing like it. There's nothing like the presence of God. We spend a lot of our time trying to solve problems, but when we learn to invite God's presence in, it will begin to make a difference in our life. Every situation, there we find rest, joy, peace, prosperity, blessing. Whatever you have need of, God has the answer for. And we walk around with this yoke of burden on us all the time, carrying around all this weight of life, carrying around these things in our life. Listen, there's many people that say depressed and stressed out, and they don't know which way to turn. They take a pill to get up and one to go to bed. There are all kinds of antidepressants, and those things only last a few hours, and then they need another. But a few minutes in God's presence changes everything. A few minutes in God's presence changes everything. We try to carry around the burden, the weight of sin in our life, the weights of the world in our life, trying to tote those things around in our life. You can't run when you're carrying around the weight of sin. Come on, I'm going to just work you to death today. Get over here. Just carrying around the weight of sin. Oh, my God, you're heavy. Carrying around the weight of sin. Oh, I come to church, and I'm carrying all the weight of the world. I just can't even worship God. It's just trying to carry around the weight. Pushing on you, pressure of life. You need to shake off those things that are weighty. Move those things off of your life. The Bible says, take off the heavy weights and put on the garments of praise. We need to take off you need to loose some things out of your life today. Release some things out of your life today. I'm going to take off this weight of sin, and I'm going to put on the garments of praise. He said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. All those things that you're carrying around, you've heard me say this before, when you say, well, the Lord won't put more on you that you can bear. But yes, you can heap stuff up on you that did not belong to you to begin with, and you're not supposed to be carrying those things. You need to shake those things off, come on, and you need to put on the garments of praise and begin to worship God and begin to change the atmosphere around you. And don't look at your situation and let it determine your praise, but look at your praise and let it determine your situation. Thank you, Justin. When you bring God into your environment, your circumstances change immediately. What would happen if you bring God into your house? What would happen if you just said, God, I want you to come into my house? Things would change. Things would change. As you begin to praise, take authority over demons and strongholds that you've been battling with in the flesh. So many things we battle with in the flesh. I was sitting here a while ago, and I didn't say this first service, so I don't know if this is a word for somebody, but this came to me in worship a while ago. Matter of fact, it is for someone here today. You're battling with food addictions in your life. And you're trying to overcome those food addictions in your life, and you're doing all kinds of things. But God wants to tell you today that if you'll get into a position of praise, you'll conquer the addiction in your life. Listen to me today. As I begin to unpack this right now, whatever the addiction is, whether it's food addiction or whatever it is, when you start saying, oh God, I just give you glory, God. I'm going to praise you, God. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, God, you are good. I'm breaking off these yokes off my life. I'm breaking off the depression off my life. I'm breaking these things off. You know, all of these things that go on in our life, most of the addictions that we have in our life, if you follow that addiction back, it's because we're dealing with strife, and we're dealing with turmoil, and we're dealing with depression, we're dealing with these things in our life. And so we're using these things of the world to try to soothe the things of life. Let me tell you something. There's nothing that will take care of that like praise will. Praise will change the atmosphere, change your way of thinking. Start praising God. The power of God that comes when we praise, that the demons run out. They look for a place to hide. Where can I go? When the man in the tombs began to praise the Lord cast the demons out of him. The demons said, Lord, give us a place to go. So he sent them into the pigs, and the pigs didn't even want them. They went and committed suicide. Let me tell you something. We need to get rid of some things in our life, and we do it through praise. We put up with stuff in our life that we don't have to put up with. And it's not because we like it. It's because we haven't learned how to let go of it. Everything in our life that God wants to break us free from will come through, but we can get free through the act of praise, having a heart after him. This is the praise. This is the power. It heals the brokenhearted, and it stops the enemy in his tracks. It demolishes his plans for the destruction in your life. I want you to say every. Shout every.
Every.
Come on, somebody shout every.
Every.
The rest of y'all shout every.
Every.
Every evil spirit. Not just some. Every. Every disease. Shout every disease.
Every.
Every fear. There's so many fears that people bound up by fear of this, bound up by fear of that. They go into relationships fearing that before they ever started the relationship, that the relationship was going to end. They go into, they have this constant fear of all kinds of things. When you get into a place of praise and you see Jesus high and lifted up, sitting upon the throne, you're praising from a position of victory. Fear has to go. Every bout of depression, every seed of bitterness must go in Jesus' name. We put the enemy, come on worship team, under our feet. God's presence is the answer to all of our needs. Everybody say all. God's presence is the answer to all of our needs. Every, the Bible says that one day every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess. Every. Let's position ourselves for our victory. Let's look at our circumstances and say, I'm not going to be here very long. I've been here for a season, but I'm coming out. Let me say this before I go. Even when we're, with you saying, Pastor, when we're praising, we're not going to have trials and tribulations. Oh, yeah, you're going to have them. There's always going to be trials in your life. There's always going to be tribulation in your life. There's always going to be things that are going to come against you. But it's a difference between walking through those things and living in those things. When you begin to praise, you're saying, I'm praising my way through this situation. I'm in. I may not can change all the things in the situation, but I can change me in the situation. I can change my perspective, and I'm not gonna camp out here. I'm walking through this situation with joy in my heart, with praise in my heart. I'm moving. And praise changes the atmosphere around us. If you're waiting on a move of God, you are a move of God. You are a move of God. Lord, just drop this in my spirit too. Somebody's been sitting at the pool of Bethesda waiting on the waters to be troubled. You've been sitting saying, okay, God, if there would just be a move of God, I know it would change my life, God. If I could just get to a place where there would be a move of God. And you could run to church there and run to church over there and run to church over there. We got a lot of great churches in the city. I'm not talking about the churches. I'm talking about you, okay? So don't confuse what I'm talking about. But it doesn't matter where you go if you don't go after him. You are the move of God. And wherever you go, the glory of God goes with you. Pastor, I this situation, my marriage, I don't know what I'm going to do. Praise your way through it. Praise your way through it. Whew, I feel the Holy Spirit speaking to hearts this morning. I was just reminded of a lady that was at my church when I was growing up. She had a husband that was very abusive. Very abusive. Mentally, physically, you name it. He was very abusive. Every time I run into this little lady at church, she was always smiling. She was always happy. She was always filled with joy. Her son and I were close friends, so I knew, I've been in their home. I knew the ins and outs. I knew the situation. And I often wondered what would get you through that situation. But here's what I saw in her. I saw a heart of praise. And she would worship in the worst of times. She would worship when all it seemed like all hell was against her. She would worship her way through those times. And I watched God carry through storm after storm after storm. The joy of the Lord being her strength. We'll say, Pastor, are you saying that we're in a situation like that, we need to stay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our heart of worship in the situation that we're in. You don't have to let your situation determine who you are. You let who you are determine how you handle your situation. Let me say it again. I'm a worshiper, so I'm going to worship in whatever situation I'm in. I'm a praiser, so I'm going to praise in whatever situation I'm in. I am the move of God. I am the presence of God. Where's the Ark of the Covenant today? It's inside of me. I am the temple of the Most High. He's come with His Spirit, is living inside of me. And before the Ark of the Covenant entered into the city, there was some singing and there was some dancing going on. There was some worship going on. So if I'm going to usher in the presence of God, I've got to be a praiser. I've got to be a worshiper. I can't come to church and when it's been a bad day and say, today's a bad day. No. I'm going to worship. I'm going to get up in when the clouds are hanging over my head. Thank you, God. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will praise you, God, in the middle of my storm. I will praise you, God, when everything else around me is going bad. I'm made up my mind of who I am. And I am praise. I am worship. I think God wants to break some strongholds here today. I feel some things just loosening. I feel some prison doors opening. If you're here today and you don't have any of this stuff applies to you, you're not in any prison, awesome. I want you to praise for somebody else today. I want you in your heart to let a heart of worship just start coming out of you, just flowing out of you. I want you to praise for the person sitting beside you that might be going through a deep, dark situation. There's a cloud over their head. Maybe their marriage is bad. Maybe their children need some hope for their children. Maybe their situation, their life. I want you to praise for them today. Man, I feel the Holy Spirit speaking. Let's don't be selfish praisers. And the only time we praise is when we need something from God. The atmosphere. Woo! I wish I had a tambourine right now. I feel like I need to just say this just a little bit more. Come on, John, come with me. Help me. Come on, Jason. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, I need some women to praise too. Y'all know how to praise? Come on, come on, come on, get up here. Come on, ladies. Come on, come on, come on. Wendy will come. Come on, Wendy. Come on. You have to beg some people to praise. So you get sometimes, and look, I really don't want y'all to praise. I'm going to be praising for y'all, okay? So here we are because we're thinking, well, you know what? I'm the only person in the group that's praising God. It's contagious, though. If we're really concerned about the world that we're walking in, the people that are following us, the people that are with us, we ought to be the greatest praisers on earth. Because whatever they're walking through, whatever situation's going on in their life, I could be the key that unlocks the door for them. I might be in a prison with them, but if I can start singing praises to God, there's some things that are going to fall off in their life. Are you understand what I'm saying today? In the middle of the atmosphere, in the middle of this prison, in the middle of the situation that I'm in, I might be the very thing that changes the lives of those around me, but I've got to get a heart of worship and a heart of praise. I can't let somebody else. I can't wait on somebody else. I can't wait another day. I've got to get the attitude of praise in my heart. I'm loosening some things in my life. I'm loosening some chains. And listen, as the world gets darker, we better have the praisers better get brighter. Lord, help me today. Come on, y'all, travel with me. Come on. Come on, walk around me. Travel with me. So I'm moving through life. I become the glory of God. This is the Ark of the Covenant, bringing the presence of God back. And there's a nation that's resting on me. There's a nation that's resting on my praise. There's a nation that's resting on my worship. And if I sit down, it's going to affect them. Are you getting this today? Are you feeling what I'm feeling? Because I didn't say this in the first service. There's something resting on me that's going to affect their life. And if I stop my praise, because if I let my situation shut me down, I may affect a whole generation. But if I say, God, come on, I feel like praising him a little bit this morning. I feel like shaking things loose a little bit. I feel like lifting my voice. I'm going to affect those that are with me. It's going to be contagious. It's going to begin to move upon them, and I'm going to change the nation. Listen, our nation don't need a new president. It needs some worshipers. A new president's not going to shake our nation. What's going to shake our nation is the presence of God. Does anybody want to shake your surroundings? Does anybody want to change the atmosphere in your life? If you're going, just begin to praise this morning as we stand to our feet. Is there anybody in this place today that your children, you need your God to just move on your children? Come on. You need to change. You need God to move in your marriage. You need God to move in your situation. You need God to move on your behalf. I want to ask you this question. Are we going to change the world around us? Are we going to sit silently quiet? God's looking for a few that will say, above all else, above all else, I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus.